Hello, I'm Allison from Goldfrapp.
Why do you think so many people who study art end up making music?
That's a good question. Will had a theory about it, which was that... I can't remember, so there you go. When you go to music school, that they're sort of... It's so disciplined to the point where I think people generally who are classically trained or trained in music tend to be... have a great fear of doing anything outside of what they've been trained to do. Whereas in art school, I think you're kind of taught to that almost anything goes in a way, or at least art school, and I don't know what art school's like now, but when I went to art school, it was very free. And I guess a lot of people who are... I think there's a lot of people who are very visual are also musicians, and vice versa.
Now that is the first time it's been said that way, because it's interesting, and we could go a little deeper or we could not. But what you're saying is that people who, for example, go and study, because I'd say 50%, pick some number out of the hat, people will say, well, you know, I studied classical at Berkeley, or I studied at the conservatory or whatever, and then I went into rock and roll and I used that music theory towards that. But based on your premise, that could be limiting.
Well, I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, really. So, you know.
Sure you do.
I don't know. I've always been surrounded by music. My father was really into classical music, or both my parents, but my father was also a painter. There's six of us in our family, and everybody sort of either dabbled with music or are artists. So I don't know, the two go hand in hand very much for me, that's for sure. They're inseparable.
And just a little bit about art school, because again, when I have talked to musicians that are artists, what always amazes me is how some of the projects that they did very early on in art school end up in their music in some way, shape, or form. And I hope you're not tired of telling this story, because I know my audience really, unless they dig as deep as I did, don't know about the milking a cow while yodeling. So can you tell me just what exactly was going through your mind at that moment in time?
Well, it's funny how that piece, or that piece of work, seems to have stuck in everyone's mind. Of course, there was a whole load of other stuff I did as well, but that one seems to have, gone around, that story, quite.
Well, then, you know what? Let's do something different. Tell me. So, you know what?
I don't know what was going on. What was going on in my head? I suppose I've always been interested in nature and what is nature and the sort of idyllic ideas we have about nature. And also, I like sort of in the same way with when we're making music, I like kind of playing with different ideas. So you're mixing up things that maybe necessarily shouldn't be going together, if you like. But what was I doing? I was yodeling.
While milking a cow.
Yodeling is kind of this ridiculous thing that humans are able to do. It's an astonishing...
Who invented the concept of... I mean, we know where it came from, what countries it's done in, you know, by shepherds trying to do something, but who invented that?
I don't know. I think they were all mad. Anyway, it's a fantastic thing. And, yeah, so I milked a cow, and we mic'd the cow up so that everything the cow did was amplified.
Where did you put them? I'm sorry, this is probably completely out of turn, but where did you put the microphones?
Near his bum, in the bucket where the milk was going into, and blah, blah, blah. The sort of ambience of the, because it was all done outside, was sort of amplified as well, so you'd get birds tweeting. And
did you have reverb on there?
There was some reverb on.
That, well, you see now, how did I see now? I know your. I don't know you very well, but I know your mind well enough, and I know your music well enough that I could just see you putting like this old 70s or Phil Spector-ish reverb on the cow's bum. So you know when he did what he did, you got a special moment.
Well, I mean, it's a kind of nice idea, the whole thing. I don't know if it really worked very well though. Actually, I think it was a bit crap. Got kicked a lot by the cow every time I milked it, but so
hence why you didn't decide to become a farmer.
Well, I can milk a goat a lot better than I can a cow, actually.
I've never tried. I've watched. But, you know, someday maybe perhaps you can tell me the indices between milking a, you know, a goat versus milking a... This is a very musical interview so far, have you noticed?
Goats are just smaller, so they're just a lot easier to around.
You know what, when I was six, when I was three, there's an old 8mm movie of me being kicked in the bum by a goat. So I'm not sure I'm going to go for either one.
Cows are very big, and when you get up near its udders, it seems a... really big.
Now, this is one that I don't think has been mentioned as much, the This Week I'm Alice piece.
Oh, for God's sake. Why are we delving into my...
Because we're going to... It's going to inform the musical questions.
Okay. This Week I'm Alice. Yeah. What's that all about? Oh, well, I first did that performance in the Red Light District in Antwerp in Belgium, and... the title, This Week I'm Alice, sort of came from the idea that of this ever-changing personality, and some of the women that I met who were working in that area, sort of, they kind of had different personalities, they had different names for themselves, you know, they put a wig on and then they were called Susie, or, you know, so that's where the title came from. And then it was this... I kind of made this, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, to get round it quick, I was sort of inside this box. Basically, you could only see my head, so the whole room was dark, and it had this sort of 3D effect on my head, just revolved round in this sort of square. So it was a bit like watching a TV almost. And I sang to a piece of music that I wrote with a friend. And a lot of it was sort of backwards things that we'd sampled and then turned backwards, and I learnt how to sing those phrases backwards, so it was all sung backwards, so it was very strange.
Revolution number 9. So Will was from the film world, you were from the art world, theoretically.
That's a very simplistic way of putting it, because I don't know if Will had done a couple of films and I had been to art school. I don't think that necessarily makes us from the film world or the art world. I think we both have interests in both areas, and both of us have always been involved in music before. I was involved in music long before I went to art school. So it's sort of rather black and white view of it, and sometimes it irritates me.
Well, that's okay. That's what we're here for.
Quite true.
You know, a lot of music is kind of missed by the audience because people try to put it in one box or another.
Yeah, I think that happens all. But, I guess we all do it to a certain degree. You know, someone says, oh, what's that like? We tend to go, well, it's a bit like this and it's a bit like that. And but, yes, I think genres generally really limit people's perceptions of things. I don't know. It's all rather boring. I try not to have anything to do with it.
Will calls Seventh Tree and we're sitting here in California with no sunshine, but he calls it the California sunshine influence, and yet there are still a lot of beats. So can you tell me about a couple of the songs and tell me the narrative behind them?
I guess a lot of the songs are kind of about journeys, really. Journeys, sort of road trips, or journeys of the heart or the mind, or I think that's pretty much sort of seems to be a sort of general theme of the album, although that wasn't exactly the intention either. It was just something that seemed to be... I kind of realised about it once we'd sort of written a few of these songs, that they always seemed to have some kind of theme of, travelling.
What about all the commercials and the sync and the fact that the music industry these days really isn't about selling records anymore, like when you and I were growing up?
Well, just to make it clear, if you get music on a sync, an advert or something, then yes, you have to approve it and They have to get permission, and there's lots of things that, you know, quite often we say no to. But as for music generally being used on, for instance, a gardening program, or maybe it's a trailer for a new drama series coming up or something, you don't have any control. The artist doesn't have any control about the use of music in that area. As for doing syncs and ads, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Will and I have never had a problem with it. In the early days, like the first album, no one would play our music on the radio. And that, to a certain extent, that is still true. We're considered left field or too not radio friendly or something bizarre, or they just don't like us. So we've always had a problem with getting our music played. So in the beginning, it was the only way, quite often, that anyone would actually hear what we were doing. And now, more and more bands who thought it was very uncool to have their music on an advert, they're all doing it now, because basically, that, you know, people aren't selling albums the way they used to at all. So more and more people are doing it purely just so they can make some money, and that's the cynical, more cynical way of looking at it. But personally, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think some ads are fantastic visual things, you know, ads I saw when I was a kid, for instance, certain adverts had a huge kind of visual impact on me and influenced, you know, my taste and aesthetic. So I don't have a problem with them at all, never have done. I mean, obviously there's certain ads that I'm not keen on car ads anymore, for instance, because I'm not really sure I want to. Well, if I buy a car again, it ain't going to be one that runs on petrol.
One of the things that the audience is interested in is your performance, and I know that you bring a lot in terms of costumes and interesting things into the performance itself. So back to the what goes through your mind when you're saying, okay, we're going to do the show for Seventh Tree. What goes through your mind in terms of how you're going to perform it? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I mean, you know, these things, they kind of evolve. You don't sort of sit down with a great plan, or at least we don't.
No great creative person does, right?
Yeah, I mean, the sort of visual side of things for me is very much part of the music, and the visuals come from the music. Although, I mean, I don't know. It's such a that they're kind of inseparable for me. Visuals and music is visual. You know, you write a lyric. It has a narrative. Therefore, you know, it's visual. You look at a painting, it doesn't, you know, if it's, doesn't matter if it's just a bunch of shapes, it still has a narrative. Everything has a narrative, everything's visual, everything has, words have colour, and, you know, when you listen to music, it takes you on a journey and kind of, you know, it makes you think and feel things, and, I mean, it's kind of, so I think when we're writing, the sort of visual ideas stem from that, and visual ideas influence the music. So they're kind of this thing that evolve constantly. Influence each other. So I don't know how to explain. I never know how to explain these things. The sort of stage, how we present it on stage, for me is sort of the next process, and it's very important that somehow, I suppose it's just another form of expression, isn't it, and of of giving it a sort of visual drama, you know.
You went through a lot of instruments when you were younger, and I can't imagine you up on stage playing a trombone. So,
oh, God, no.
Which was the result of going, now, so the voice, so singing, I mean, convent school is what got you to your voice being the primary instrument, is it not? Although I like the trombone idea. I think just on principle, one time you should go out there and, you know, and play one of the tracks on trombone just so people have a little, you know.
I did play the clarinet, but I actually hated it. And so I thought I'd have a go at the trombone. And it was just too big. And I actually found it really boring. So gave those up, really, and discovered boys and drugs and things like that and smoking behind bike sheds. So that sort of overtook the... the instrument idea of practicing at home and things like that, but I mean, a big influence was my family, really, especially my father, on the kind of music that I was listening to when I was a kid. And yeah, I went to a school where singing was, you know, a bit, you know, we sang before lessons, we sang at lunchtime, we sang after lessons, and we had an amazing teacher there. And she, you know, I was crap at school. I was academically just an absolute numbskull. So I really loved singing. It physically felt good. I felt very free. And I was kind of told I was good. So it just, you know, I hadn't been told I was good at anything else other than drawing. So it scored.
So what's the most misunderstood thing that comes out of these interviews that people just completely are off on?
That Will's gay and I'm really evil.
I'm closing.